This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature, Health and Healing. We shall conclude with a segment on the ongoing Jubilee Year 2025. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
And I'm Sister Mufaro Chakwinga, LCBL.
Pope Leo XIV has told pilgrims who gathered in St. Peter's Square on Wednesday for the midweek general audience that eternal life is found through showing mercy. This week's teaching was a continuation of last week's teaching on the Jubilee theme of Christ our hope, but with a focus on the parable of the Good Samaritan, which demonstrates the true meaning of love for one's neighbor. We have a report.
In the parable, a man is beaten, robbed, and left for dead, which Pope Leo said can happen to us when circumstances or people, even those we've trusted, can strip us of everything and leave us out in the open. But, the Pope points out, it is in these encounters with others that we come to know who we really are. When we encounter someone in need, we are faced with a choice, to care for them or to look the other way. Two people, a priest and a Levite, who we would imagine would stop and care for the hurt man, simply choose to ignore him, which the Pope says shows that religious practice alone does not automatically lead to compassion, because it is not a matter of religion, but one of being human.
Prima che una questione religiosa, la compassione è una questione di umanità.
Only a Samaritan, someone from a people traditionally despised, stops to help the wounded man in the parable. He stops, not out of a religious requirement, but because he is one human being in front of another in need. Compassion, Pope Leo stresses, takes form through concrete actions, because to help someone, you cannot stay at a distance. To be compassionate, you have to get involved and be prepared to even get dirty, perhaps even take risks. True help means being willing to feel the weight of another's pain, the Pope underlined, and pointed out that only when we recognize that we ourselves are the wounded man in the parable can we truly feel compassion. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
The Pope concluded the midweek general audience with an appeal for peace in the Middle East and in Ukraine. Christopher Wells reports.
Cessate il fuoco. Siano liberati tutti gli ostaggi.
Pope Leo XIV forcefully appealed for a ceasefire now in Gaza, along with the liberation of all hostages, and that humanitarian law be fully respected. From the Gaza Strip, the Pope said, we hear rising ever more insistently to the heavens the cries of mothers and fathers who clutch the lifeless bodies of their children and who are continually forced to move about in search of a little food and water and safer shelter from bombardments. The Pope's appeal came at the Wednesday general audience just one day after almost 50 people were injured trying to receive food aid at distribution sites in Gaza. Pope Leo opened his remarks on Wednesday with an appeal for peace in Ukraine, saying his thoughts often turn to the Ukrainian people affected by new serious attacks against civilians and infrastructure. Ukraine has been subjected in recent days to onslaughts of Russian drones and missiles aimed primarily at civilian targets. I pledge my closeness and prayers for all the victims, especially children and families, the Pope said at the audience, while renewing his appeal to stop the war and to support every initiative for dialogue and peace. He invited everyone to join in prayer for peace in Ukraine and wherever people are suffering due to war. I'm Christopher Wells.
A member of the Missionary Sisters of Our Lady of Africa, Sister Lina Siabana, has told participants at the 6th Conference of Major Superiors of Africa and Madagascar currently underway in the South African city of Pretoria that church leaders must come out without fear to address the sexual abuse of women religious whenever and wherever it happens. She expressed concern over the institutional use of silence to protect perpetrators and warned that sexual abuse has many terrible consequences on the victims. Move beyond institutional protectionism and take bold, transparent steps to protect women religious, she challenged the leaders of the church. There have been reports of sexual abuse of women religious by priests in some Catholic dioceses, especially chaplains, and reports of superiors blaming the victims for tempting the abusers.
Togo's Catholic bishops have expressed deep concerns about the country's recent constitutional changes, warning that they pose a serious risk to national unity and social cohesion. The bishops are particularly troubled by the elimination of presidential term limits and the appointment of President Faru Nyasimbe as head of the Council of Ministers, a powerful new role with no term limits. In a statement issued on Monday, the bishops expressed fear that the constitutional changes could lead to instability and undermine social cohesion. They criticized the government's failure to engage in genuine consultation with the people before making those changes. The bishops warned that ignoring the concerns and frustrations of the population could lead to desperate actions and unpredictable consequences. They urged the authorities to listen to the voice of the people and engage in a process of reconciliation through open and inclusive dialogue.
The Bishop of Lugazi Catholic Diocese in Uganda, the Right Reverend Christopher Kakoza, has extended a message of welcome to the thousands of pilgrims from neighboring countries and beyond, and from Uganda who have started walking hundreds of kilometers to take part in the celebrations of the Feast of the Uganda Martyrs, scheduled for June 3rd. Bishop Kakoza reminded the pilgrims that the true purpose of their journey is spiritual renewal, prayer, and honoring the legacy of the martyrs. The Uganda Catholic Bishops' Conference chose the Diocese of Lugazi to animate this year's celebrations. The Uganda Catholic martyrs are 22 in number. They were killed between 1885 and 1887 on the orders of a local king known as Mwanga. The organizers are expecting more than 2 million pilgrims to converge at Namugongo Uganda Martyrs Shrine on June 3rd.
The Archbishop of Freetown in Sierra Leone, His Grace Edward Tamba, has issued new directives to guide public worship in the Archdiocese to reduce the spread of mpox. Sierra Leone has recorded over 3,000 cases and 14 deaths of mpox since the outbreak on January 10, with a significant surge in new cases reported in April. The Archbishop recommended that the sign of peace be done by putting the right hand on the chest and making a gentle bow, or by waving the right hand or both hands to fellow worshippers during Mass. Communion be administered in the hand, not on the tongue. Clean water, soap, and sanitizers be provided at all entrances of places of worship, offices, and Catholic institutions for hand washing and sanitizing. Archbishop Tamba advised the faithful to avoid overcrowded places and urged them to cooperate in implementing new directives in order to prevent the spread of the disease.
You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Former Congolese President Joseph Kabila has arrived in the rebel-held eastern city of Goma for talks with rebels. His visit comes a month after declaring he wanted to help end the crisis in the war-ravaged region. Kabila, who has denied the accusations by Kinshasa that he supports the M23 insurgency, agreed to step down following protests and external pressure in 2018 after almost two decades in power. Reuters reported on Wednesday that the former president was expected to begin holding consultations on Wednesday with citizens in Goma, which fell under the control of M23 in January during an advance that has seen the group seize more ground than ever before. South Africa said it is not planning to water down its black economic empowerment laws just to suit Elon Musk's Starlink. The black empowerment policy seeks to redress the imbalances created by apartheid by encouraging black ownership, employment and skills development in various sectors. Speaking on Tuesday, the country's Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, Solly Malatsi, defended the new law, arguing that it would allow communications companies, including Starlink, to bypass a requirement to sell 30% of the equity in their local subsidiaries to historically disadvantaged groups. He was responding to criticism by opposition lawmakers of policy changes that he announced days after President Cyril Ramaphosa met Donald Trump in the U.S., but Malatsi has insisted that the equity equivalent programs were consistent with empowerment laws. Nigerian President Bola Tinubu has asked Parliament to approve more than $21.5 billion in foreign borrowing for its 2025-2026 borrowing plan in order to plug financial shortfalls to boost growth. This is according to a letter from the president in which he explains that the borrowing is necessary in order to redress the effects of the significant infrastructure deficit in the country in the face of a badly performing economy. Kenya's President William Ruto has publicly apologized to Tanzania following days of tension between the neighboring neighbors. The president made the remarks in response to a call by visiting American preacher Rick Allen Bowden, who urged leaders to pursue reconciliation. The diplomatic row was triggered by the deportation of activists who had traveled to Tanzania to attend the trial of opposition leader Tundu Lissu. You are tuned to the Daily Africa service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Health and Healing. The international community will observe this year's World No Tobacco Day on Sunday, May 31st, with the theme Unmasking the Appeal, Exposing Industry Tactics on Tobacco and Nicotine Products. The day is marked every year to raise awareness on the dangers of consuming tobacco products and the tactics the tobacco industry uses to lure people into consuming its products. Tobacco products refer to items containing, made from, or derived from tobacco that are intended for human consumption. They include cigarettes, cigars, pipe tobacco, smokeless tobacco, electronic cigarettes, and water pipe tobacco, also known as shisha. Tobacco contains a natural, highly addictive chemical known as nicotine, which ties tobacco consumers to tobacco products even when they want to stop. It also contains many other chemicals that damage the body and lead to several non-communicable diseases, such as heart attack and various types of cancer. The more a person consumes tobacco, the more likely that he or she will develop the associated diseases. Since 1987, the World Health Organization has played a leading role in sensitizing the public against tobacco consumption. It is estimated that 1.3 billion people in the world consume tobacco products, and of these, 1.2 million die every year. These deaths are avoidable. The Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, issued a message this week for the World No Tobacco Day.
The tobacco, nicotine, and vaping industries target children and young people with flavors, attractive designs, and deceptive marketing. They make their products seem harmless when in fact they cause disease and death. Some flavors make these products even more addictive and dangerous. This industry's main goal is profit, which they achieve by driving addiction. Policymakers can protect the public, especially children, by banning flavors, by removing misleading advertising, especially on social media, and by crafting policies that put people ahead of profit. Tobacco kills no matter how it's packaged.
The tobacco industry has responded to campaigns against its products by rebranding them and by making them appear less dangerous to health and more attractive to the consumers. As you have heard in Dr. Tedros's message, tobacco manufacturers now add flavors to tobacco products to make them tasty. Professor Sukitra Sarin is a psychiatrist. She explains what flavors are.
Flavors and flavoring agents are natural or synthetic chemicals that are added to both tobacco and nicotine products to give them specific tastes, like fruit, candy, mint, or menthol. They can be found in all product types. So you see them in cigarettes, in water pipe tobacco, in e-cigarettes, also known as vapes, heated tobacco products, and nicotine pouches. And they can change the products' smell, taste, and how it feels when it's used. Tobacco flavor, for example, in e-cigarettes is actually created using flavor chemicals. Some of the most common flavors in cigarettes are fruit, candy, and menthol.
People who are leading the campaign against tobacco use are mainly health workers and have managed to unmask the tactics tobacco manufacturers use to deceive and to hook people, especially youth, on the consumption chain. Professor Sarin explains why flavors have become an important ingredient in tobacco products.
Flavors are used to make the products more appealing, especially to young people and new users. Flavors can improve the taste, they can mask the harshness of tobacco and nicotine. And also they are added to product packaging and marketing through attractive names and smells and colorful packaging to just make the products seem more appealing and less harmful. Flavors increase the chances that people will start, will continue or return to using nicotine and tobacco products. And some flavors like menthol can make it much easier to inhale nicotine because they reduce irritation. And therefore, by increasing ability to inhale nicotine, they boost its addictive effects. So in short, flavors are a marketing tactic that's used by the industry to hook people and grow the industry's customer base.
Medical research shows that flavors have negative effects on our health. Professor Sarin again.
Flavors are chemicals. They can damage lungs, they can cause inflammation, or when they are used in high enough doses, they can even increase cancer risk. Flavors can also lead to greater nicotine use because they make it easier to inhale nicotine. So if you inhale greater nicotine, you are more dependent. And so this increases the chances of nicotine addiction and toxicity also.
And lastly, Professor Sarin calls upon young people not to fall into the traps of the tobacco industry because they will remain hooked on tobacco products until those products kill them.
What I would like people to know is that sometimes flavors don't just smell or taste strong, but can still change how a product feels. For example, there are new flavor chemicals that are being introduced in flavored products, which cause a cooling or a numbing effect, and they reduce irritation. Many products also combine several flavoring agents, which increases the risk of harmful effects. Now, in some cases, you may not smell or taste the flavor, but almost all tobacco and nicotine products contain flavoring chemicals. Flavors are also added to tobacco and nicotine products through accessories like flavor capsules or cards or sprays or rolling papers. And these are all used to make the products taste better, smell better, and more attractive and easier to use.
Professor Sukitra Sarin, a psychiatrist and lecturer in psychiatry. And that was Health and Healing for this week.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello, it's another wonderful and privileged day to be journeying with you once more on today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program in keeping you updated on the events of the ongoing Great Jubilee of 2025. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and it is always a pleasure accompanying you on this journey. Last week's event, from the 12th to 14th of May 2025, was one of its kind, as the Church celebrated the Jubilee of the Eastern Churches. The Eastern Churches are those various Christian autonomous churches that are in full communion with the Roman Catholic Church, with their own distinct liturgy and theology, but share with the Roman Church the same sacraments, recognizing the papal supremacy. These churches are parts of the Orthodox churches that broke away from the Roman or Western Catholic Church due to matters of faith, but who later in the years, after much dialogue and theological understanding, began to associate with the Roman Church without being mandated by the Holy See of Rome to abandon their liturgical rites, theological, spiritual, and disciplinary heritage. Hence, they became known as the Eastern Catholic Church and are independent churches, with the patriarchs being the head, that is, something similar to major archbishops. But the difference is that they decide on whom to elect as a patriarch of a particular church, unlike the Western Catholic Church, where the Pope's confirmation is needed to elect a bishop. Another difference is that concerning priesthood. The Eastern Churches allow aspirants to the priesthood who wish to marry to do so before ordination, and they have their own distinct liturgical rites, while the Roman or Western Church practices clerical celibacy for priests, that is, their priests do not marry. Over the years, the Church has come to encourage more relations with these Eastern brethren. Hence, the Jubilee of the Eastern Churches, which aims to foster unity and understanding among diverse rites within the Catholic Church, while highlighting the unique liturgical, theological and cultural contributions of the Eastern tradition. The Jubilee, which was one of the most spiritual, intense moments of the Holy Year, was not only an opportunity for pilgrimage to Rome, but a visible sign of unity in diversity in the Universal Church. The different churches, having made pilgrimages to the Holy Door, had the opportunity to celebrate the liturgy in their different languages and rites, demonstrating the irreplaceable role of these communities in the Catholic faith. The divine liturgies were celebrated and presided over in the East Syriac Rite at St. Peter's Basilica by the Patriarch of the Chaldean Church, Patriarch Louis Raphael Sacco, in the Armenian Rite by Patriarch Raphael Bedros Minesian at the Basilica of St. Mary Major, in the Coptic Rite by Patriarch of Alexandria of the Catholic Copts and the President of the Bishops of Egypt, Patriarch Ibrahim Isaac Cedrak, at the Basilica of St. Mary Major, and in the Gaze Rite by Cardinal Berhane Jesus Serafel, Archbishop of Addis Ababa, in the Choir Chapel of St. Peter's Basilica. Welcoming the participants to Rome on Wednesday, 14th May 2025, the Holy Father Pope Leo XIV recalled the glorious history and bitter sufferings that many of these communities have lived through and continue to live through, emphasizing how much they must be loved and supported. The Holy Father expressed his deep concern about the risk of the Eastern communities living in diaspora losing their identity, especially the new generations, as he asked and pleaded that they preserve their traditions without watering them down. He praised the Eastern liturgies for their sense of mystery, beauty, and their ability to become medicines for the entire church. He remembered the Eastern Church of Ukraine, praying that the peace of the Lord may be with them, especially in the ongoing war they are experiencing in their country. In his words, Pope Leo said, "War is never inevitable. It is the person who sows seeds of peace who will go down in history, and not the person who sows war. With my heart in my hand, I say to the leaders of peoples, let us meet, let us dialogue, let us negotiate." Furthermore, the Holy Father invited the entire church to let itself be evangelized by the East and to carefully guard the deep roots of faith that continues to shine from the east. It was indeed a memorable Jubilee celebration for the whole church at large, as it indeed increased the relationship between the Eastern churches and the Western churches, and also brought to light the beauty of our distinct liturgical rites. And this brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, as I encourage us to continue to grow in the love of one another, that our hope in Christ may be made manifest in our lives. I hope to meet you all at the same time, same station, next week. I still remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.